together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 38. I want to read verse 26 through verse 28 this morning. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28 reads, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Let's pray. Father, we sure do thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. We thank you for your grace and mercy that brought us through last week. And now, my Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us. Speak to us in such a way that all of us can understand it. Speak to us in a way that our hearts are comforted and encouraged through your word. Speak to us, Father God, that we may share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In my opinion, Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. I love the Christmas season. I enjoy the sights and the sounds of Christmas. I like the smell of Christmas. I like the fellowship and the sharing that takes place during the Christmas season. I love the story, the biblical account of Christmas. Every year, about this time, I try to spend some extra time looking at what the gospel writers have to tell us about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. I enjoy it. It's not about the material gifts. It's not really about the food, though I do enjoy that. But one of the reasons I love Christmas is because Christmas reminds us that there's hope in God. Christmas reminds us that no matter how low we have fallen, God will always come to our broken places in life. And so I love Christmas. And people all over the world is preparing for the Christmas day. Some are spending money and buying gifts. Some are making plans for parties and family fellowship. There are many moms who are diligently preparing menus for the Christmas dinner. There are a lot of dads who are spending countless hours cleaning out the garage from last Christmas so they have somewhere to put the stuff they buy for this Christmas. Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. And if all of us would be honest with ourselves this morning, we would have to admit that all of us are thinking about how we're going to enjoy Christmas Day. It's a day of great celebration. It's a day in which every believer, regardless of your financial status, regardless of the physical condition of your body, regardless of what other problems you are experiencing, it is a day when all of us as believers ought to join in the celebration. Because it's the day that we have set aside to reflect upon and to rejoice in the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But what I come to tell you this morning, it's the same old message that I shared with you last year this time. And that is, Christmas is not just about enjoying. We ought to enjoy. We have a reason and a right to enjoy, but it's not simply about enjoying. Christmas is also about learning. It's a great teaching moment. It's a great moment in which we have the opportunity to learn some eternal principles and truths that will change our lives both here and hereafter. We need to learn about the one who Christmas is really about. We need to learn about Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. It's about getting to know this wonderful salvation plan that God has given to us if we would just receive it and believe it. So Christmas is not just about enjoying. If you really want to celebrate Christmas right, if the earth want to celebrate Christmas the way heaven would celebrate Christmas, we need to get to know the one who is all about Christmas. And so this morning, in this little simple message, I want to remind you of some things that I tried to share with you last year. I want to talk to us about some life lessons that we can learn from the first Christmas. 2,000 years later, Solid Rock, we don't experience Christmas the way Mary and Joseph would have experienced the first Christmas. 2,000 years removed, we don't see Christmas the way they saw the first Christmas. The first Christmas for the parents of the Lord Jesus Christ was not about lights. It was not about jingle bells and mistletoes. It was not about ham and turkey, but it was filled with pain and complications. God chose to send his son into the world in a strange way. He did not come riding on a chariot pulled by a white horse. Jesus did not come robed in purple garments and a crown on his head. He was not birthed in Taj Mahal. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ came into this world, he came in a humble fashion. I want you to think with me for a moment. That the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, came into this world born in a manger. All of the riches of glory belong to him, and yet he comes into this world with no place to lay his head. The very one in which the angels loved and adored, the one in which the angels would have did anything for, laid everything aside for sinners like us. I bring you in that direction this morning because there are times in our lives as believers, as children of God, when we go through struggles and problems and pain, and we're tempted to believe that somehow or another either God has forgotten about us or that God don't care. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in a fight for your life. You're here this morning and you're wondering how you're going to pay the electric bill tomorrow. You're here this morning and you're wondering why is it that your marriage that you've invested so much in is falling apart. You're here this morning and just on Friday you was in the doctor's office thinking that everything was fine, but you got a bad report. Sometimes when we go through struggles and when we go through problems, we're tempted to think that somehow or another God either don't care or God has forgotten about us. But there are some life lessons. Now listen, this is all I got. So, I mean, beans is better than nothing at all. There are some life lessons that we can learn from the first Christmas. I want you to think about, Jeremy, I want you to think about the assignment that Mary and Joseph had. They had the assignment, they had the task of birthing and raising the very Son of God. The background to Matthew as well as Luke is that Mary and Joseph are in the spring days of their life. They're young. They're full of life and vigor. They're excited about their future. They got some big plans. They're planning on getting married. In fact, they have already been engaged. And I'm sure, like most young men and young women do who got a wedding day planned, that they're probably discussing certain important things concerning the marriage. They're talking about the furniture that's going to go in the living room. They're plotting out the paint scheme of the house. They're talking about how high the picket fence is going to be around the yard. They got plans on having one dog and 2.5 children. You know how it is when you're excited, you got your plans all laid out, you know what direction your life is going, and you're excited about the future. While they're planning, God steps in. While they're laying out the next years of their life, God interrupts. I come this morning to tell you, Brother Dale, that sometime God will interrupt your plan. He'll walk in and he'll knock them all down and say, I got a better plan for you. God steps in to Mary and Joseph's life. And you know the story how God sent an angel to speak to them. From that conversation that the angel has with Mary and that conversation that the angel has with Joseph, we can learn some life lessons. The first lesson that I want you to see from this little bit of simple message this morning, I want you to see that sometime being blessed and highly favored and chosen can be confusing and complicated. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes being in the will of God can be complicated. It can be painful. Listen, sometimes being in the will of God and being highly favored and blessed and chosen can be a struggle. Can anybody testify to that this morning? Have you ever run into trouble knowing that you were right in the center of God's will? It's complicated. Mary and Joseph's life go from being just normal and exciting to confusing and complicated. Imagine with me for a moment. Think with me just for a moment. The angel shows up and he announces to Mary, heaven's got another plan for you. Heaven's got a different plan for you. Your plan was okay, but heaven's got a better plan for your life. And from that one little statement, complications start. Three things I want you to consider about the announcement that this angel makes to Mary. There's the complication of an unplanned, unexpected, unasked for pregnancy. It was unplanned. I mean, she was planning on having children later on, but not right now. She will probably plan on having some children later on, but with Joseph, it was unplanned. She hadn't planned for this. It was unexpected. She was expecting the next great event in her life was to get married, not to get pregnant. And God has a way sometime of introducing us to stuff that we didn't plan on. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you didn't plan on being where you are right now. You hadn't planned on getting sick right now. You hadn't planned on losing your job right now. You didn't plan for him to walk out on you right now. But life has a way of bringing you to some things that you hadn't planned for. But not only was it unplanned and unexpected, let me tell you perhaps the thing that maybe she struggled with the most, it was unasked for. She didn't ask for this. Amen. Listen, she hadn't signed up for nothing like this right here. This was unexpected, it was unplanned, and it was unasked for. But let me tell you something about God when you really belong to God. He don't have to get your permission to do in your life what he wants to do. There's the problem and the complications of a unplanned pregnancy, but then listen, this one little visit from the angel not only brought that complication of the pregnancy, but it also brought the complications of the real identity of the father. Now, we all big people in here. I want you to think about what it must have been like for Mary. To walk out in the carpenter shop and old Joe is out there working on the furniture that they're going to put in the house. And have to explain to Joseph that I'm pregnant. To have to explain to Joseph, I know we've never been together, but I got something to tell you. for this event. I'm pregnant. And if that wasn't enough, Job would ask the question that all of us would ask if we knew it wasn't us. He would ask the question, who's the daddy? Well, you see, what happened was, see, the other day I was in the kitchen minding my own business. And an angel showed up and told me that I was going to have a child. And what is conceived in me is not from any man or any normal man, but it's from God. Y'all gonna make me work at this, ain't you? And if Joseph was anything like most of us mean, Joseph would say to Mary, I'm not going down to the barber shop and tell my homies that my wife is pregnant by the Holy Ghost. There is the complication. There is the struggle with who the real father is. And so Christmas for them would not be like Christmas is for us. Well, if that's not enough, poor Mary's got to deal with the complications of a disappointed husband. Because this thing troubled Joseph so much that the Bible tells us in Matthew's gospel that he had sat down and began to devise a plan on how he was going to get rid of her. Matthew tells us that while Joseph thought on these things, God had to send an angel. He said, Joseph, wait a minute. I'm involved in this pregnancy. There are times in our lives when being in the will of God and being used by God becomes complicated. And it becomes challenging. What we haven't learned that Mary and Joseph had to learn is that whenever God wants to use you for a great purpose, whenever God wants to use you to bring about something that is going to make a difference in people's lives, all of hell will fight against you. And there are some of you here this morning, you got a heart for God. You want to be used by the Lord. You want to be in the will of God. You want to be in the service. You want God to use you to make a difference, to impact somebody's life. But you wonder why it is that every time you go to do good, evil is present. You wonder why it is that folks that don't even go to church, folks that don't even love God, folks that don't even read the Bible, folks that don't even know nothing about prayer, why is it that their walk is so easy, but yet yours is so hard? Because I come to tell you this morning that like Mary and Joseph, hallelujah, I feel the anointing. Like Mary and Joseph, I'm telling you that when you try to get in the will of God, when God handpicked you for his own purpose, the devil will fight against it. So the first lesson we learned, being chosen and being favored can be challenging and complicated. But here's the second lesson we learned as we look at these two texts. We learn that you can't let human reasoning outweigh spiritual revelation. Listen, you can't let human reasoning and human feelings and emotions override what God has spoken to you through his word. Now listen, and we don't have time to go through all of it, but I want you to go back with me to Matthew chapter 1. Turn back to Matthew chapter 1, because I want you to see something that's really important. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Is this making sense this morning? Look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. In other words, here's how it happened. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now I want you to see Joseph's thought pattern here. He know he hadn't been with Mary, but he knows Mary's pregnant. And because Joseph was a good man, and Joseph was a thinking man, and Joseph was a compassionate and a merciful man, he said, I gotta get out of this, but I don't want to hurt Mary. Matthew tells us he was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this, listen. The angel comes and he speaks to Solid Rock. The angel comes and he speaks to Joseph. And he said, Joseph, what has happened to Mary was beyond her control. This is a God thing. Now, before the angel spoke to Joseph, Joseph is plotting and planning on how he gonna get rid of this girl. But I want you to watch after the angel spoke. Go over with me to verse 23 and 24. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Watch verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife. Now all I want you to see in this right here, listen, is that you can't let how you feel and what you think and what your so-called friends are saying and the funny looks of church folk override what God has spoken in your heart. Let me tell you what this message to Joseph didn't do. It didn't stop the criticizers from criticizing. It didn't stop the self-righteous, judgmental folks from judging him. Amen. It didn't stop the folks who didn't like him before this from not liking him after this. But what it did do, it gave him peace in his heart. And I'm telling you this morning, you listen to me, you cannot let how you feel and what other folks say and think about you override what God has said to you. The Bible said that when Joseph got this word, Miss Cindy, he just simply did what the angel told him to do. And there are people here this morning that all you need to do to get your next breakthrough is just simply do what God told you to do. You need to stop worrying about how you feel. Can I tell you something? There are Sundays when I don't feel like a preacher. There are Sundays, and one of them Sundays is right this day when I don't even feel like preaching. But it's not based on how we feel. It's certainly not based on what people think about us, but it's based on what God has spoken about us and in our hearts. When we look at this text, listen, the first thing we learn that being chosen and being favored and being blessed can be complicated. The second thing we learn is that you can't allow human reasoning to outweigh spiritual revelation. Here's the third little thing that we learn. We learn that some of God's greatest blessings is birthed out of our deepest pains. Y'all ain't gonna say amen to that, but I know I'm right about that. Some of God's, listen to me, some of God's greatest blessings is birthed out of our deepest pains. The truth of the matter is, you wouldn't be who you are right now if God hadn't have brought you through what he brought you through back yonder. In the midst of this pain, in the midst of this confusion, in the midst of this complication, listen, in the midst of this tremendous struggle that we can't even begin to appreciate in our day, the Savior is born. The Messiah comes forth. The King of Kings and the Lord of Glory is birthed out of this painful situation. There's some lessons, some truths that I've learned in my pain that I couldn't have learned them in my pleasure. There's some hurt that God has used over the years to mold me and to shape me into the man I am right now. I say that because let me tell you something. Listen, watch this. If you listen, say amen. You can't always run from your pain. You can't always try to escape those difficult moments. I'm a firm believer that God is sovereign Lord over the universe. What that word sovereign means that he is in absolute total control of every situation in every moment. There are times when we're trying to run from pain that will birth a blessing, not knowing that it's God who have brought us to this thing in order to get glory for himself and good for you. I wonder what would have happened if Mary had said to the angel, "Well, I appreciate the offer, but Betty Sue lived down the street. Go talk to her about it." I wonder what would have happened if Joseph had said to the angel, "Well, I appreciate you explaining that to me, but I still ain't interested." Some of God's greatest blessings is birthed out of our most painful situations. We don't like preaching like this because we don't like pain. You'll not catch us signing up for pain classes, will you? Because we don't like pain. But think about it. in order to purchase our salvation, Jesus Christ had to endure pain. And I'm telling you this morning, listen to me, if you're going to be any use to God at all, you got to learn to endure some pain. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, a good soldier for Jesus Christ does not engage himself with the cares of this world, nor does he shrink back from hardship. But he endured hardship for the cause of Christ. Here's my final little lesson this morning, or my final little thought on this little message. And that is, just like God used Mary and Joseph for something great, God wants to use you and me and this church for something great. The same God that picked Mary and picked Joseph is the same God who's calling to you this morning saying, I've chosen you for a glorious purpose. I've chosen you to become pregnant with a God idea that will bring a blessing to this lost world. My question to us as believers and my question to us as a church, how are we going to respond? Life is complicated sometimes. If I learned nothing else from Mary and Joseph, I learned this. I'm telling you, you would never change my heart about this. That sometimes being in the will and the hand of God, people turn on you, people lie on you, the devil is always after you. It gets complicated. But the good news is this right here. The same God who stayed with Joseph and Mary because they were pregnant with his plan is the same God that's going to stay with you through whatever you're facing. Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save sinners. He did not come to make us financially stable. He did not necessarily come to heal our physical bodies. He came to rescue us from the wrath of God and the pit of hell. And out of everything else that God do in your life, if you miss that, you miss the best that God got to offer. You stand with me this morning.